Well, welcome to Lighthouse Community Church. If you're visiting with us this morning, we just want to extend an extra special welcome to you. Hope you enjoy the service today. It is a little bit of a different style of service. We are having a bit of a focus on the gratitude to God and thankfulness for the things that He's been doing in our life, and we're going to see that a little bit later expressed through some of our church members in a time of prayer. Before that, though, we have the blessing of being able to celebrate communion. Last week, if you were here with us, we had our special basketball ministry, which was a great blessing to see the church full of people and to celebrate the work that had gone on throughout the season. It was a lot of work, though, to get everything ready, setting out tables, making sure everything went smoothly, and so I left the service quite tired and exhausted by the time we got out of here. And so I don't know about you, if you go home when you're feeling a bit tired, often the nicest thing to do is just sit down in front of the TV and relax a little bit. And that's what I did after church. I went home and I actually sat down, and if anyone's been watching the Chosen series, I've been following along with that. I'm up to season 5 at the moment, which is actually focused solely around the Last Supper. And it was interesting, as I was watching that, if you've seen any of the episodes, there's an episode in season 5 where Jesus is sharing the meal and it sort of cuts backwards and forwards. And near the end of the Passover meal, they actually all stop and they actually participate in a hymn called Dienu, which stands for "It would have been enough." And I'd never heard this before, hadn't really studied it. I went and looked in scripture to make, I was like, is this really what happens? Didn't have the actual word dienu, but in two occasions in Matthew 26 verse 30 and Mark 14 verse 26, it says that they sung a hymn after the meal was finished. And it's likely from Jewish tradition that this is the hymn that they would have sung, the Dienu, "It would have been enough." It was one of the most beloved songs in the Passover Seder. The people gathered around to share in the Passover meal, and then at the end, each of the people that were gathered in that particular gathering would read one of the stanzas at a time, and then everyone else would respond with Dienu, or "It would have been enough." And this was a reminder to them to be grateful to God for all the work that He had done in their people's history. And so you might not have heard this, but I just thought it would be really powerful to read this morning, focusing on giving gratitude to God. So I'm going to read through the Dienu, and then we're going to have an opportunity ourselves to break into groups after we've taken care of a few other things. So if you just maybe even want to close your eyes where you are, just so you can listen as I read through the Dienu. "If He had taken us out of Egypt and not made judgments on them, it would have been enough. If He had made judgments on them and not made judgments on their gods, it would have been enough. If He had made judgments on their gods and had not killed their firstborn, it would have been enough. If He had killed their firstborn and not given us their money, it would have been enough. If He had given us their money and had not split the sea for us, it would have been enough. If He had split the sea for us and had not taken us through it on dry land, it would have been enough. If He had taken us through it on dry land and had not drowned our enemies in the sea, it would have been enough. If He had drowned our enemies in the sea and had not supplied our needs in the wilderness for 40 years, it would have been enough. If He had supplied our needs in the wilderness for 40 years and had not fed us the manna, it would have been enough. If He had fed us the manna and had not given us the Shabbat, it would have been enough. if he had given us the Shabbat and had not brought us close to Mount Sinai, it would have been enough. If he had brought us close to Mount Sinai and had not given us the Torah, it would have been enough. If he had given us the Torah and had not brought us into the land of Israel, it would have been enough. If he had brought us into the land of Israel and not built us the holy temple, it would have been enough. Obviously, for the people at the time, that's where their story ended. They were waiting for the coming Messiah. Yet the purpose of the Dayenu was in a world the purpose of the Dayenu for us today, in a world that is striving to get faster and more hurried, it's so easy for us to forget, as Ben has already alluded to this morning, the idea of pausing and taking notice of the reality of where we are and all the things that have happened mean we are exactly where we're meant to be, despite the things that have taken place. There's been a recent upcoming artist by the name of Forrest Frank, and he wrote a song called Hallelujah as well. And some of the lyrics in there point back to this exact idea as well. And the lyrics say, Hallelujah, I'm set free. I'm right where I'm standing is where I'm supposed to be. Hallelujah, I get to be me, and just the way you made me is how I'm supposed to be. And so both this modern song by Forrest Frank and the Dayenu remind us to never forget all the miracles that God has done originally in the Jewish people's lives and through the people of Israel, but even in our lives today. Every one of us here has testimonies of the way that God has done things in our lives, things that maybe we thought were possible, but also things that we thought were impossible. And so as we gather around the communion table today, it's again a time for us to reflect on the incredible things individually in our own lives, in our families' lives, if your family's here in our church, or as a church family, or even in the world. Because when we stand and wait impatiently for the next miracle, we're just expecting or wanting God to do something bigger than he's already done, we are missing the point of the life that he has given us. Instead of tapping our foot and waiting, we can be actively seeking reasons to be grateful for the life and for the day that we have today. And so just before we break into groups, I'm actually got the privilege of welcoming, we've got four new members who have become members of our church, and as a part of our process, we welcome them in as a part of a communion service. So I'd just like to invite Ben Thompson and Thomas Batten and Brad and Miriam Crouch as they have come into membership in our last members meeting. We're just going to invite them to come down the front. And then if anyone would like to come and lay hands on them as I pray for them coming into membership, I would like to invite you up to do that as well, because this is an incredible thing for us to be grateful for, the blessing of people committing to the church here at Lighthouse Community Church. They're already believers in the faith, so already a part of the family of God. So if there is anyone from the congregation that would also like to come and encourage these guys in their steps of faith, we'd love for you to come up and lay your hands on them now, and then I will pray for them in a moment. All right, let us pray. Father, we thank you for the church. We thank you, Lord, that as a family of believers, we are able to come together and to encourage and support one another. to cry with one another through the difficulties, to mourn with one another, but also to rejoice and celebrate with one another. We thank you, Lord, for the role that the church has, especially Lighthouse Community Church in Brighton and its surrounding regions here, to be a beacon of hope for those who don't yet know you, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that as members of Lighthouse Community Church, that is at the forefront of our minds. Wherever we go, we recognize that we carry a representation of this church. And Lord, we thank you for Ben and Thomas and Brad and Miriam who have made this commitment to the church body here, Lord, which is a small arm of the entire capital C church around the world, Lord. And they've committed here to being members of the church, to faithfully serve in different areas here, to glorify you in all the actions that they take, whether in the church building or outside, Lord, because they are members of this church, members of your family, Lord. And help us as a church body as well to always be encouraging and supporting and praying for these brothers and sisters here as they continue to strive to be more like the image of your son Jesus in everything that they do. So we thank you for this great opportunity and encouragement to us, Lord, of the church growing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You're welcome to take your seats, everyone. And as people are heading back to their seats, I thought it'd be really special as an opportunity for us today to share, not only in a time of communion, but a time of day and you together. And so what I'm going to encourage you to do now is we're going to come up and collect the elements individually, and then you'll head back. If you're here with your family, this is young children, older children, I'd encourage you to just combine with your family members that are here and spend some time doing a day and you together, going around in your circle and saying simple as this, each person shares and says, if you who is representing God had, and then fill in the blank, and then the rest of the group can say, it would have been enough. Okay, and that can be anything for you. It can be anything that's happened this week. It can be something that's happened in your life. But it's a reminder of being thankful and reflecting on the good things that God has done. If you don't have immediate family here, I'd encourage you to join with three or four other people within the church, because we are a broader community here. And so if you're here, please look around and connect with someone else that maybe might not have any family here as well, and be an encouragement that way. So if you'd like to start making your way up now to grab your elements and then head back to your groups, and then afterwards I'll close off in prayer. Thanks.
I'm reading from Paul's letter to the Colossians, his hymn, starting in chapter 1, verse 15. Hey, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul says in Colossians, you are the firstborn of all creation. You're the Lord of the heavens and earth, Lord over all things, which you powerfully made and sustain with your love. And you're the firstborn from the dead. You're the Lord of our redemption. And so we praise you this morning that you would go so far as to come so near to bring us so close. This morning we want to thank you for this glorious paradox that we as your people know so dearly, that as majestic and powerful as you are, you have brought us near. You've brought us close to the Father by making peace by your precious blood. And you sustain this creation. Sometimes it doesn't seem like it, but we thank you that you are head over this world. You hold it together, and you will continue to hold it together. May this globe that you, with the Father and the Spirit, made, much of which is alienated from you, may we see revival in it, spiritual revival, in nations and peoples that have wandered from you. True spiritual revival of grace and truth in the power and the hope of the gospel. And so we thank you that you are head of your church, and that just as you sustain this world, you continue to sustain and lead your church. And so as your people here at Lighthouse, help us not to shift from the hope we have in you in all of our activities here. Lead us and strengthen us and keep our eyes fixed firmly on you, so that we might live lives to the praise of your glory. And so we rest in you, our Lord, your supremacy, your salvation, and your headship over us. In Jesus' name, amen.
This next reading comes from the first book of Samuel, chapter 1, verses 1 to 20. The birth of Samuel. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zophite, from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihi, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuf, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came from Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once when he had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, "O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine." "Not so, my lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out to my Lord, pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the Lord of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." She said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning they arose and worshipped before the Lord, and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah lay with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." This is the word of the Lord.
Friends, we've had a look at our God, only a quick glimpse. We've had a look, I hope, and prayed for our family. And now we want to say how good last Sunday was. So, Ruth, would you come forward, please? As we know, Ruth was involved in the basketball. And after half an hour, we're having coffee, Ruth. Right, so this is part of the outreach and the concern that we have for, what goes on. So, Ruth, thank you. Share.
Yes, I didn't know that when I stepped into this church 4 years ago where the Lord would lead me and how could I actually serve him. And being a bit of an outdoorish girl and loving sport and activities and moving a fair bit, there was a young man stood up in church in front of me by the name of Tristan. And from that day on, I knew where I was supposed to be. This was to be my calling in terms of a senior member of of life, I guess. But I'm so thankful for this ministry. It's the blessings that I get by sharing Jesus. And it doesn't have to be so much in words, although I am called at times just to speak God's truth into the lives of some of these families who there is no connection at this point in time with Jesus. And so I see this this mission field more of a place, not of, yes, it is a place of sport for the kids, but that's where my heart lies in terms of what banner or what baton am I handing on to the young people. So thank you, Colin, for this opportunity to actually just express why I'm so involved at this tender age, but I'm passionate also about that everybody knows about him before eternity. And if I can just be God's little witness in this ministry, I thank him for that, because I know what he's done in my life and I know what he can do in others' lives in terms of turning them towards him. So we were continually reminded in the Bible, I guess, in terms of passages where people gave thanks to the Lord. And I know in my own life it's something that daily I'm focused on in saying thank you. Now, that's not easy, as we all know. There's going to be times, and there are times in our lives now, where it's hard to say thank you. But that's how God can change any one of us, in the little small details. I can step outside. You know I love the sunshine. It's raining. I say, well, thank you, Lord, for the rain. It's needed, and I know it's needed somewhere, the whole way in which God makes things work. But some of the verses that really have when we're focusing on this idea of gratitude and thankfulness, Psalm 107 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever." So it doesn't stop. I remember we went this year to a women's conference, and the young girl got up and said, "God's compassion is not a fossil fuel." And that stuck in my mind. It never runs out. His compassion for everybody never runs out. But how relevant in today, when we have so many people talking about fossil fuels and this earth. Colossians 3:17 says, "Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Colossians 4 verses 2, "Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful." It's not an option. We are told to be thankful and in have hearts of gratitude, and we all should be. One writer expresses gratitude this way, and it just really hit the spot with me. It says, "Gratitude is a heart tenderizer. It keeps our eyes focused on God, the source of all good gifts. It keeps our hearts open and fills it with fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control." We have room to grow. And thank God I am still growing, and I trust you are too. I'm thankful also that Colin came up to me on Thursday and said, "Would you like to just give a little bit more info or share about the in thankfulness to God in terms of the basketball mission or ministry that we're called to do?" And I went home exactly like Dion, exhausted. But it was a beautiful time because it was a time of reflection. It was a time of prayer. And it was a time of thankfulness to God for that wonderful celebration and the people that I'd been associated with through basketball and families into the presence here at church. Now, only God knows what went into all those people who were there, but I just thank him for giving me the opportunity to do that. And so my first port of call was saying, "Thank you, God. Thank you for a wonderful day of blessing on a personal level, and I'm sure for Tristan also, but to everybody who was there." And I just wanted to share a little bit with you in terms of what this basketball ministry is meaning to a lot of the families and people involved. Right at the end, when photos were being taken, one of the mothers came up to me, and she started to tell me about a personal situation that was happening at home. And it was just, it brought me back again to the realisation in terms of what so many people are dealing with in a family situation these days, and also with the precious children that these mothers and fathers engage with on a daily basis. And she started to tell me, what was going on. And I just said to her, "I don't have the answers for you. I know who does have the answers for you. But I will speak to some people about what you've confided in me. And I will pray for you." And she just turned with these eyes and said, "Thank you." And that was enough. And I just said, "Thank you, Lord, for that one person." So if it's one person who actually is drawn closer to the Lord and knows and gets to hear about him, I say thank you. And then Colin Orr said, "What was the feedback like from the Sunday?" And I said, well. And then I got this text from one of the mothers. And forget about me and think about him. And she just said, Ruth, you are such a blessing to all that know you. This gets me. You have helped me more than you could ever imagine. The uplifting conversations you have given me, the emotional stories you have heard and helped me through, the support you constantly provide my family. I'm so thankful for you and that you are such an important part of my life. And all glory and praise to God. It's not me. I'm the vessel that he's using in this ministry. God's at work, both within this church and also in the wider community out there. And as I say, I do thank him for that. I also want to thank each and every one of you here for the support that you've given us. And God is blessing it. It's growing so big. I don't know where it's going to end. Only he knows that. But I know that we have your support. And financially, those that have given to assist us to give to these families who some of them just don't have, I guess what we've all been blessed with. So that's another driving force. For all the people who helped even just set up last week, and I know I've mentioned it, but food that was given, it really is appreciated. You're serving the Lord in another way, and that's what's just fantastic to see here. Can I also just ask that you continually keep this ministry in your prayer time? Daily, there's families out there who just haven't heard, but we are called to be the vessel that we share God's love. We know what he's done for each one of us, and so it is with this heart that I go forward with God's help and with Tristan by my side that we can actually just minister to these families. Sometimes it's not in what you say, it's just that they know that you care for them, you listen to them, you hear their stories, and that is consistency, which a lot of them haven't had in their lives. So, if you could, and I know you will, please keep this in your prayer time on a daily basis. Never forget to say thank you. And so will you just join with me in prayer as we commit those families to you. Father God, we just give you this time, and we thank you so much for hearts of gratitude and love. Help us, each one of us, to share this with the people that you put in our path, whether it's on a daily basis, whether it's our immediate family. And we pray deeply for those families who, at this point in time, don't know the love of Jesus. They've heard about him, but there's nothing personal. Please, will you just help us to walk with them through this journey of life, but also that we honour you in everything that we do and say, and we ask you and thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we mightn't be there playing basketball, but how wonderful that a church like this, some people would say with a lot of oldies, but what a ministry for oldies. To be praying and supporting that basketball ministry. Some of you would have seen last week the needs of some of those people. Some of you would have heard the language and thought, oh, something, what's going on here? Friends, are they not the people for whom Jesus came? And are we not the people to whom Jesus has given the message to share? So we've looked at our God and seen who he is. We've prayed for families and we'll continue to minister to families. We've heard about basketball, and not only there, but we'll pray there. We did have a little segment on Alpha. I haven't forgotten that, but I'm conscious of time, and so we'll have a look at Alpha next week. Thank you. Let's stand as we sing together.